Well, good afternoon. Pleasure to be here today. I'm usually, I go to a lot of extension meetings, and I'm usually the last on the program. It seems like we talk about corn and wheat and grain sorghum. There's always a barbecue smell coming out the back door, but I don't smell that today, so maybe I got, half hour maybe? Let's see. How do I work this? Okay. All right, just a little bit about planting dates. You think, well, that's pretty basic. Everybody's going to plant early. You know, there's lots of reasons why we plant early. We've got a list here, and things I hear from a lot of producers is I have to plant early because I've got everything else to plant. Well, one of these producers was telling me this story, and I said he had 5 12-row planters running one day. And I said, well, how many days is it going to take you to plant your corn? 3 days. So, this idea that we have to get things planted early to get on with other things is probably not necessarily true in a lot of instances, because equipment really doesn't seem to be the limiting factor in a lot of instances. But, you know, over time we probably have greater yields than we think we do. Reduced irrigation needs, especially this last 2 years in some of our early planted corn. If you look at how much it rained from planting to harvest, we were at 20-some inches of rainfall. If we looked at some of the later plantings, we had 6 inches of rainfall. So even though we do have a lot of rainfall, we do irrigate it a lot as well. Avoid the heat. You know, if we can get corn planted early, get it to pollinate 1st of June, get it made before it gets really hot, that may help out in some years. Reduce the insect pressure, less foliar diseases, earlier harvest. The list goes on and on and on, right? You know, we go to meetings to talk about this, and then everything goes out the window sometimes. And we had this happen in 2007. We had a freeze come through. This is a Easter freeze, first part of April, I think April 7th. Had a lot of corn planted early that year that myself and a lot of other people thought would survive. Well, corn like this in a lot of instances didn't make it. And so that was also the year we had a lot of first-time corn producers. So corn in Arkansas had been a relatively minor crop, but that particular year was up threefold increase compared to the previous year. So we had a lot of new producers, a lot of nervous producers had already sold their corn at $5 or $6 a bushel, 6 months prior to this happening. And so we had a lot of problems, a lot of people nervous that we weren't going to make any corn. And lo and behold, what happened? We had a record yield. And so I think after that, people really opened their eyes and, well, maybe we don't have to plant early. There's, risk planting early. There's also risk planting late. But, maybe we need to look at this a little bit more. And it seems like every year since then, 07 through this past year, we have lots of these natural disasters that make us rethink or make us totally restart things. And unfortunately, this year, I took every one of these pictures within a week of each other. So, the whole year of problems in 1 week. And so in April in Arkansas this past year, we had areas of the state that got 15, 20 inches of rainfall in one month. 2 days prior to that, we had a lot of wind. We had soil erosion. Now, this is not a picture from Lubbock. This is northeast Arkansas. 2 days after that, we had heavy rainfall that a lot of our lighter ground. The first 5-inch rain was okay. The second 5-inch rain washed a lot of the soil away, and so we had corn that was planted, approximately 2 inches deep. Then we had situations like this where you had pretty much the whole root system exposed, and so people had to start over. And then, of course, we have hailstorms every now and then, too. So we've really had a lot of questions in the last 3 or 4 years about replanting corn. And, of course, prior to 2007, you go back and look at a lot of the information about, planting dates in Arkansas, there really wasn't a lot. I mean, prior to that, back in the 70s and 80s and probably early 90s, we were looking at 50 to 100,000 acres of corn. This past year, we had over 500,000 acres. So our corn acreage is going up. People are planting a lot more of it, and so we're getting a lot more of these questions. And so when we went back and looked at a lot of the information, a lot of it was old, probably prior to the introduction of BT corn. And so I think in a lot of instances amongst other states probably had that same problem, that you go back and try to find where the data comes from, current recommendations, and it may be old or probably needs to be improved. And so now we've got BT corn, lots of BT corn. We've got more irrigation. I think Arkansas actually uses, I think it was the fourth greatest user of irrigation water in the U.S. Most, you wouldn't think of that, but most of that's in eastern Arkansas, a lot of it in the rice production areas. But we do consume a lot of water. Probably about 80% of our corn or more of it is irrigated. We do have foliar fungicides now to help prevent some of our late season foliar diseases. And more of our producers have put the money into bins, storage systems, so they can handle higher moisture corn, get it dried down, and try to beat the weather that may be coming in. So the last three years, we did some corn planting date studies. This was a project that was funded through our Corn and Grain Sorghum Promotion Board. But really, we wanted to look at, try to develop a curve, get an understanding how late planted corn is going to perform. And so really, we had three objectives. We wanted to look at how corn grew and developed compared to early versus late plantings. Wanted to look at the impacts of later plantings on pest management, the corn borers, the foliar diseases, all that, the gamut there. And then, and probably most important, to develop that planting date by yield, grain yield response curve, because we wanted to update that, as that's what everybody's really interested in. So our trial locations, we had three locations in eastern Arkansas. The one I'm really going to talk about today, or really the only one, is right here at Marianne. This is one we've had the most planting dates. We've got the most data, so this is what I'm going to concentrate on. Little Rock is right here. Anybody go to Tunica, Mississippi, gambling? You know, these plots are basically right across the river there. Memphis would be right up here. And so a little bit about the study we did conduct the last 3 years. Typically each year we had about 8 hybrids, 110 to 120 day hybrids on maturity. This is typically what we're growing. The producers who have a lot of corn, a lot of them will plant some shorter season, 110, 112, kind of get going, help spread harvest out. But, you know, that's pretty much what we're planting. The plots were small plots, 4 rows wide by 30 foot long. We did harvest the 2 center rows, split plot design, 4 reps. These plots and all the plots that we have conducted have been furrow irrigated. And this particular site is a highly productive silt loam soil. 38-inch row spacing, this is a typical system for us still. It seems like if we're growing cotton and we're growing corn in that particular system, we're on 38-inch rows. We're growing rice and soybeans, we're probably on 30-inch rows. But corn, a lot of it's still on 38-inch rows. In all these plots, we planted 34,000 seeds per acre, which is a pretty typical seeding rate or planting rate for most of our producers. And we have a wide range of plantings here, March 17th all the way out to the 1st of July. And so we saw some pretty big differences, and we'll look at those. But typically, for most part of the state, the middle of March through the middle of April, maybe even later April, is typically when we're going to plant corn. Once we get into May, people really don't want to, or may have to think about it. Maybe they've got corn already contracted, and so they're tied into some contracts, so they may go ahead and plant. But typically, the end of March, first part of April is when most of our corn goes in. These plots, conventional tillage and on the nitrogen, shooting for about 240 units of nitrogen, and that was split applied. The peak phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, zinc, all that was also applied to soil test levels. All these plots were planted on raised beds. This would be a pretty much of a typical system for our area on 38-inch rows, conventional tillage, and like I say, most of our corn is irrigated, and most of it is furrow irrigated. Pretty flat ground, or it's been leveled, precision leveled, so that we can furrow irrigate. But the beds provide good drainage in early spring, allows for watering, and also early plantings, it lets the ground warm up a little bit quicker and get the corn off to a better start. And then we did furrow irrigate these plots as needed. I think in some years, we may have watered as much as 10 or 12 times. Other years, maybe only 5 or 6 times. But we in this particular area, we get about 45 to 50 inches of rainfall a year, but we still have to irrigate because of our distribution of the rainfall is really not ideal. And during this time, these 3 years we're going to talk about, we've had several different hybrids, but this past year, this is a group that we had. Probably several of these hybrids are representative or pretty widely planted in Arkansas. The couple of decabs there, 114 day, and two or three of the Pioneer numbers there would be probably our most widely planted corn. We did have one Viptera corn. This is not a lot of it was planted, but we wanted to see how it would perform on the as we've got later in the season as far as insect control. And then off the results. You know, there's a lot of information on here, and that one of our objectives was to demonstrate how the plant grew, how quickly it grew over time. And so this is a lot of information on here, but this is information just from one hybrid. We got our five planting dates we had this year in 2011. And so these will be major growth stages, I guess, that we did look at. Emergence, how many days it took the plant to emerge. So planting to emergence took 12 days. Later we plant, of course, it come up a lot quicker. But, you know, V5 cutoff or atrazine cutoff is be about 12 inches, be about 30 inches here. Silking, starch line, and then roughly harvest. And so, you know, we gain a lot of ground when we plant later. So, you know, even if 10th of May, which would be still a typical planting, we gain 6 days there. If you look at the silking day, we gain 20 days. So the heat units are really kicking in. So producers are always concerned about, if I don't get into that March planting, I plant the 10th of May, how much longer is it going to delay my harvest? And so that's really kind of what we were looking at here, wanting to evaluate. And of course, the silking dates, that gives you a good number here. The harvest day, sometimes that gets delayed by weather. You know, most of these were harvested 15 to 18% moisture. So there may going to be some variability there from year to year. But in general, things are definitely going to speed up the later we plant. The heat units really kick in. One of the things that we saw as we have planted later on the planting dates is plants get taller. One of our reps went out and looked at these plots and he said, "Jason, I don't even think that's our hybrid. Ours is supposed to be a nice short one, and it was about 12 foot tall." Well, it was short when you planted it in March. If you planted it in, you know, first part of June, it got awfully tall. So we had hybrids out there, 12 foot tall when we planted them in June. Exceptionally tall. And in this particular year, even with corn that tall, we didn't have any lodging problems. But that's one of the things that producers have problems with or get afraid of. We get very tall corn like that, that you get a windstorm at the wrong time, and we've had some lodging problems. But, you know, on average here, 110 inches tall. If you plant in May, 124 inches tall. So it gets a lot taller. Things grow quicker, and plants tend to be more spindly. But I think really what everybody's interested in is how much is that corn going to yield. And there's a lot of information here. This is a three-year summary. And let me explain what we've got here. This is for each planting date. And this was just the BT hybrids. We pulled out one non-BT. So this would be set an average of seven BT hybrids on each planting date. Most of the time we did not have a planting date by hybrid interaction. Some of them there was a little bit, but we did average over planting dates. But percent relative yield, so basically the highest yielding planting date that particular year was 100%. And after that it declined. But if you look here, if we got it planted in March, 100% of our yield potential just about every time. Now if you look here, get out in here, it starts to go up and down a little bit. April the 8th, I think it would be an ideal time. This is a planting date. Suffered a little bit from rainfall, too much rainfall. We planted a little bit later that particular year. We had better corn. And so to me, the producers, you know, we get into that end of April, first part of May. They're getting a little squeamish about planting corn, thinking about soybeans or something else. But with good management, you know, in these plots at least, we were able to maintain at least 90% of our yield potential all the way out till the 19th of May. Now, you know, there's some differences in years, and, you know, these three sites or points right here, three distinctively different years. This low one here was this past year. It was about 100 degrees every day and 80 at night. We still had 200 bushel corn. It wasn't as good as it was earlier, but with water and good management, we still had awfully good corn. This May 19th, this was the year, it was a lot cooler. And so the year difference there, the temperature differences between these three, you know, probably accounts for at least 10% of the differences you see between years. And of course, once you get out there, things start dropping like a brick, even with BT corn. One of the questions we get is non-BT corn. And we don't, it seems like every year we have less and less non-BT corn, but each year, each of these plantings, we did have one hybrid with and without a BT, and in this particular instance, every year was a Herculex. So if we planted in March, first part of April, at the most, we probably lost a 5% of our yield potential, just from a BT, primarily corn borers. We get into May, it definitely goes up, and this is primarily due to corn borers. We don't have root worms or any of those other typical pests, but primarily corn borers. The big spike here was fall armyworms. Had come in, had a lot of problems there. So, other considerations here, one of the things we see a lot of times is southern rust. This is compliments of Texas, or maybe Louisiana. We'll blame it on Louisiana. You know, it blows in every year, even this past year, as dry as it was in Texas and Louisiana, it did come in late. And we get into late plantings, we do have some dramatic differences. I showed this slide at a talk one day, then all of a sudden I have a new best friend who sells fungicides. But once we get into late April, May plantings, a lot of our producers are putting out a foliar fungicide to prevent these type problems. And so in conclusions, you know, in the plots that we've conducted here, if we can get it planted in the first part of May, I feel like we can maintain, with irrigation, we can maintain at least 90% of our yield, less pressure, less risk from insects, probably less water as well. And one thing that we really didn't talk a lot about was hybrid maturity. And, you know, typically you would think if you plant later, you would want to plant a fuller season hybrid. And in that small group of hybrids we looked at, it really didn't make a difference. If one particular hybrid did really well that year, it seemed like it did well throughout that whole planting window there. So with that, I want to thank the audience and also the Corn and Grain Sorghum Promotion Board for partial funding of this project.
Thank you. We are at the end of the session, so those of you that do need to rush somewhere else, we're at the end of the session. But we are going to start the business meeting after this, so I mean, we do have time for a question or two if we want before we move on.
Yes.
How did you apply the nitrogen? Did you get injected further?
The nitrogen, we used 32%, and we used a knifing rig. So each individual planting was fertilized. You know, like the one trial we just talked about, had five different plantings. So we side-dressed five different times. At planting, we put about a third of our nitrogen down at planting in each planting, and then the side-dress went out about V4, V5 at each individual planting.
You injected through that irrigation system?
Not through the irrigation. We have a knifing rig that puts it in the ground, probably 2-3 inches deep. Yes?
How did you figure out the yield potential for the hybrids? Is that just based on the company data?
We chose these particular... The question was, how do we choose these hybrids?
Well, no, how do you... Because you were showing data based on percent of yield potential.
Well, the yield potential, I mean, we harvested all those plots. That yield curve I showed was the potential, maximum potential. So in like this past year, we had five different planting dates. The first date had the highest yield. The highest yield was almost 250 bushel this past year. So that would have been 100%. The next planting made 220 bushels. So that would have been, you know, close to 90% of the maximum potential. So that's how we developed those percentages.